Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. We want to welcome everybody on our YouTube channel at New Wine Ministry TV. Good morning, Sister Kim, and to all of our friends out there in Blog Talk Radio Land and on omegaradio.org. You're listening to The Watchman here on a Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. And what are we watching today? What are we seeing going on in our world today? I was thinking, and maybe you would think along with me, because maybe more than one brain would work really good. I was thinking about what we do every morning. Why do we do what we do? Why do I come on radio for the last 19 years and behind a pulpit for 28 years? And why so many of those years have been consumed with preparation, warning, just talking about end times all the time and inserting for balance, because I believe balance is the key to everything, the glory of the gospel. I mean, the really good news. And that really good news to me is that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. He is the savior of the world, to the Jew first and then everybody else. And there's something so powerful just about that good news that I was condemned as a sinner. I have had a bad past like everybody else. There's not one of us in religion or in the church or in the ecclesia that could stand up with a crooked finger and point negatively at what anybody else does in the sense of I'm too good for that or I've never done that. I think we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory. And the same good news that has come to me and that has gone forth to the ends of the earth, that billions of people have received the good news about God's loving Son. You mean it, that we are guilty and we get it and we understand that we were condemned, right? And again, I'm getting to a point why we do what we do, but we know that in ourselves, that is, if you were to take the trace of God out of our lives, whatever measure is there, okay, Christ out, Holy Spirit out, if you were to take the measure of God that is in us out, if you took it out of me, whatever measure is there, I know that I am useless and vain and absolutely empty, even if I had my brain operating at 100%, without the Spirit of God, all I would have is a very sophisticated brain to do a lot of crazy stuff. But if a man gained the whole world and lose his soul, what's the point, right? So I understand that. I understand that the only value in my life, and you should understand this too, that the only value in your life is whatever measure of God that he has put within you. And hopefully we've received a measure of faith, and that faith has opened the door to the baptism of the Holy Spirit that has sealed us as a first fruits or a down payment to an inheritance that is to come. That is that our entire spirit, soul, and body will be glorified and saved in the eternities of Almighty God. I mean, it's incomprehensible, but we have it, right? And I know we're supposed to guard it. And I know that the proof of being born again is the fruit that we bear. And I know that there is a struggle that goes on between the flesh and the spirit. I know that there is an internal war in everybody that is born again. And I thank God for the men and women who are born again, who have considered themselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Thank God that there are Christians on the earth that are putting on Christ in spite of their internal struggle until that struggle is over. Thank God people are choosing to smile rather than cry. Thank God people are choosing love rather than hate. Thank God people are choosing joy rather than depression. And it may be going against the very nature of their fallen nature, and it is, but they're holding on to the power of the Spirit of God and allowing a new nature to be developed and cultivated within them. All of us do that. We choose not to be nasty. We choose not to avenge ourselves. We choose not to. And every once in a while, when our flesh is dominant and we yield to it, we feel the death pangs that we were living in, but didn't even know it until we had a new nature to show us the difference, right? So we are working out our salvation with fear and trembling, which is the most important thing. In my opinion, the gospel, the most important thing is that you and I really walk through this moment in life. And do you ever notice some people get born again and a month later they die, but they love Jesus Christ with all their heart? You ever notice that some people don't have to spend a lifetime working this thing out? And yet for you and I, we must work it out until the very end. We must endure whatever time God has given us on this earth. We have to endure, which means we have to keep our passion alive. We have to keep our love alive. We have to continue to sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. We must continue to cultivate that born-again experience. We must continue to put on Christ. We must continue to believe. We must continue to exercise our faith. We must continue in the Word of God to be transformed, to be conformed, to be, you know, renewed in the spirit of our mind. This is a journey every single day while we're here. And it is an important journey because in these last days, there's a force coming, a supercharged energy of satanic power, I believe, that is coming to with a design to overthrow the faith of many. And that kind of works with the Word of God, that regardless of how good the good news is, that many are going to fall away, that the love of many is going to wax cold, that there's going to be a really bad deal. And so we are called to guard the treasure of our lives, and that is Christ in us, the hope of glory. That is the seed that has been planted in us. And so why then, why, when I know that every human being on this planet presently, right now, and always has been and will be, but right now, God's desire is for every single person to be saved. The Bible says it. It's not his will that any would perish, okay? And yet, people are perishing every single day. And I do mean perishing. In other words, their eternal loss is being sealed because of their rejection of the gospel. That's not God's desire. That's their choice. And I do believe that. So why are we talking so much about the end times? You know, you probably, if you watch the news at all, you probably turn it on, listen to CNN, Fox News, or whoever else. You're probably sick and tired of hearing about the impeachment. But then again, it's supposed to be a pretty important deal for Christians in America and maybe even around the world. about this man called Donald J. Trump. So we talk about Donald J. Trump and the necessity of this man to be a holy, righteous man of God. You cannot, and I divert for just a moment, you cannot call the church to absolute pure holiness and to deal with all the leaven and impurities and then excuse the president. Okay, you can't do that. If he's holy by God, if he's a righteous man, if he's God's man, then he's called to the same standard of conduct as everybody in the church. And I think it's a weak argument to tell the church, you be perfect, but don't expect perfection from the president. You can't do that. So I don't know why I went there, but I did. So we're called to a very high standard. And yet, for years and years and years, we've been preaching the end times. And you know what's amazing about it? Can I tell you something? What's amazing about preaching God's word and getting into Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 2 Peter and the book of Revelation, and where all end time prophecy and thought is there in light of the second coming of Christ. You know, it's amazing. God gave us supernaturally an insight and an understanding to it. Don't you find it amazing that you understand what so many people in the church don't understand? Why can you formulate an idea? Why can you take God's word and put it together properly by the Holy Spirit and connect this reality that is happening right around us right now? Isn't that miraculous? I have attempted in my Christian walk to avoid tunnel vision. You know what tunnel vision is? Tunnel vision is an idea where somebody opens up the Bible and the only thing they can see is what they have been taught or believe. They have tunnel vision. Everything they read in the scriptures has to fit into their paradigm. And yet I learned, thank God, years ago because of my pastor who spoke into my life and said, the key to your success is balance, which means you don't get tunnel vision into one ideology. That's why I oftentimes will get away from end time preaching and the end times, what's going on, and start referring to the body of Christ, our necessity to be holy and pure and righteous and to work out this salvation and to get things done right internally, personally, and externally in the body of Christ and relationships. Because there's balance. And I love talking about the feast days. That brings a new essence of God's word. I love talking about the overcoming of sin. I love the idea of walking in the fruit of the Spirit, being transformed. You know, all these biblical realities and the gospel message of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, are absolutely amazing. And yet I've learned something about the teachings of Jesus. Do you know the majority of his teachings are warnings? I mean, it's like he put out this standard and he held it so high, and everything he did was a call to that standard. And yet the grace and the mercy and the goodness and the kindness of God is filled with all of his teachings. I mean, God is a lover. Jesus Christ is awesome. I mean, to be around him, his person is absolutely awesome. And he's awesome. And he did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. And you and I have been saved by the very grace of God. And I know that's true by faith because we believed. And that's a miracle in itself. But then we get into the reality of what time it is. And God forbid that we have just moved in the direction of speaking on end times to be dramatic, theatrical, or to provoke fear or gloom or doom on purpose because it's the thing to do and people love fear and so they're going to feed off these things. No. We actually happen to believe that we are living in the last moments of time on earth as we have known it. We actually believe that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. And yet we have learned in the scripture that he cannot come until certain things are fulfilled. Now, we're not experts, and there's no way we could ever understand these things in our own strength. But the Bible does say that he cannot come until things happen. And so our approach is we want those things to happen because we want him to come. Now, I don't know if that's right or wrong. I mean, I appreciate the gift of life. And if I were to step down off the pulpit and I were to leave the ministry and I were to just go live my own personal life with my wife and my family and stop doing the church thing and stop being a pastor and stopped all of that, I would still want to serve Jesus Christ. I love him. He's good. I've been on the other side. I don't want to go to the dark side. It's ugly. It's empty. It's vile. Okay, so I don't need to be a pastor or a churchgoer or anything else on radio, or I don't need any of that to serve God. But it's what God called me to do. I mean, he ordained it to be this way. He gifted this because I know I didn't have any gifts to communicate the way that we communicate. Oftentimes I stand back and just go, Holy Spirit, you're amazing. So my point is this. Why do we keep doing this? Why do we keep doing this? Because it's our calling. It's what we've been called to do. And we have a very small part. We acknowledge that. Our part in the eternal whole of God is very, very small. But it's not without meaning or value. And so we believe that God told us Jesus is returning, get the church ready, and get them to understand that they're going to go through things right before the coming of the Lord takes place. There's going to be a satanic energy that's going to do everything in its power to destroy their faith and to turn them away, or they're going to be deceived because people are preaching their own ideas and opinions and not the word of God. And so you do what I call you to do, and you teach the word of God. You preach the word of God. And I don't know how or why, but he did give us this ability, this gift. We're not the sharpest tool in the shed. Never said we were, but I'll tell you what, God has done some amazing things. And I just, you know, needed to maybe speak this out for myself because, you know, the days go by, the weeks go by, the months go by, and we do see a lot of things changing in our world. And we've talked about it over and over and over and over and over again. And I'm not tired of talking about it personally. I'd rather talk about the Bible than listen to the news and them talking about this, that, and the other thing. I would rather read Matthew 24 again and again and again. As a matter of fact, the book of Revelation, I want to go through it again and again and again because I believe it's opened right now. And I believe that people, God's people, can absolutely, positively glean off of the word of God. Now, I've got a call coming in. I wasn't expecting that, but praise God. It looks like, who is this from? This looks like Pastor Ken Wagner again. Pastor Ken, is that you out there, sir?
That's me, Pastor. Good morning to you, sir. How you doing today?
Good. What you doing up so early, my friend?
Oh, well, I know. I got to listen. I can't afford not to listen.
Are you back home?
No, not yet. Okay. We're still down here in Texas.
Okay.
So we'll
all right.
be coming back tomorrow, sometime tomorrow. But you struck a chord. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I just said very good.
Okay. You struck a chord when you began to talk this morning. And let me maybe start out this way. You know, when I went into the military on here, I really didn't know anything about war. I didn't know anything about battle. I heard things and I thought, oh, yeah, I can handle all that. But then I started to go through all the training that was necessary and to build myself up so I could become a cohesive member of a powerful force that could destroy the enemy. And without that training, I was useless because I'd be fumbling around. I'd be getting in everybody's way. I'd not be able to carry out orders the way they should be carried out and need to do the things that I need to do. And isn't it the exact same way for every Christian, that they need to build themselves up in the word, in the strength and the power of God, then be able to listen to the Holy Spirit as he gives directions and be able to follow it through? You know, that's part of the problem that we're facing today, because people don't want to go through the training. They don't want to take the time to listen. they fumble and get in the way of others trying to do the work of God and things that are necessary. So, yeah, it's sometimes we want to just jump in and do it, but it doesn't work until we fall into place and be able to go ahead and do the very things that God has for each of us so we can become an integral force within his mighty army that he has all ordained for us to go ahead and do. So, church, let's listen up. Let's get ready. Let's do what the Spirit of God tells us to do and keep listening to broadcasts like Pastor Vincent has on each day.
Well, thank you, Pastor Ken. God bless you. That's a beautiful, beautiful compliment to where we're going to go right now. It's a great segue, actually. And if you have your Bible open today, I want you to turn with me to Mark 11, and we're going to go to verse 22. Mark 11, 22 is, this is what God put in my spirit last night, and it really struck a chord with me that this is somewhat of a balance. Now, again, these are not new ideas. These are not new, but they're important enough to hear them again and again, especially as we see the day approaching. And we're going to talk about that particular phrase, especially as you see the day approaching. We're going to talk about that day. But in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, this is glorious. I mean, this is altogether glorious. And here's what we read. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. All right, so Jesus is talking to you today. Jesus is talking to me today. And he's saying to us, have faith in God. And that word faith, it carries so much power, doesn't it? I mean, how much power does the word faith actually carry? Faith is the power of God in everything. It's what gets you out of the slump. It gets you out of the dump. It's what brings you high. I mean, faith is everything. In fact, Jesus said in verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever that has faith, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, that didn't come from a professor at a university. That didn't come from a calculus teacher or some mathematical equation. That is Jesus telling everybody, whosoever has faith will be able to speak to a mountain and tell it to get out of the way if he does not doubt or she does not doubt in their heart. And if they believe that those things which they say shall come to pass, they shall have whatsoever they say. Well, on a number of these situations, first of all, what's better than that? I mean, what is it that you want to pray? What is it that you want to say? What is it that you want to utilize your mountain-moving faith for? I mean, what is it? I know we've laughed and mocked at the pink Cadillac. We use our faith for that. But my God, if that's what you really wanted to speak into your existence as a pink Cadillac, then do it, okay? Put your faith to work. I don't know. What is it you want? But just, you know, we'll get into the other side of that. But the positive side, maybe there's a mountain in your way. I believe that a mountain represents an obstacle, not a pink Cadillac. All right? That's my personal belief. I believe that Jesus, in context, was saying that there is a mountain, and if it's in your way, you could tell it to get out of the way. And that's how you use your faith in the last days when obstacles come and snares come and traps come and enemies come and adversity comes. You have faith to move things out of the way so that you can continue on in your journey. That's my personal take on it. Now, verse 24, therefore, Jesus said, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have. I mean, that doesn't get any better, does it? I mean, when you pray, when I pray, whatever we desire. Now, this is going from the mountain moving of obstacles to now your desire. So I would imagine you would want to have clean desires, not wicked desires. I would imagine that the desires of your heart, he says, honor the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So what desires you have would be kingdom oriented, not fleshly, but spiritual. And it's not unspiritual to desire a spouse, or it's not unspiritual to want a house. It's not unspiritual to want a good job. It's not unspiritual to, you know, want to get a particular whatever. Not, you know, it's not unspiritual to ask for things or desire things that are physical, okay? It's always connected to what the motive of the heart is, the spirit is. So if you need a really good job because you have some desires to do, you could ask for a great job. You can. A lot of times we're afraid to ask for things because we're not sure if it's according to God's perfect will. At least that's kind of my problem at times. You know, until I know God's perfect will, I have a hard time asking for things because I know what whatever I ask for, I'm going to get. And I know the children of Israel asked for meat and they got a whole bunch of quail and it came out of their noses. So, you know, I'm very different like that, but you might desire a spouse in your life. You may desire a godly man, a godly woman in your life. You may desire children. You may desire a new house. You may desire something of a car. You need a car. So you ask for it. You ask God for it. And when you believe for it, I know people that need a car today. I know people that need things today. There are things people just need. So don't be silent. Employ your faith. Pray. Ask God whatever your desire is, which is connected to something useful and good and right. And he said, if you don't doubt, you're going to have it. But now here comes the kicker. You see, to me, that's rich. That's very powerful. That's the way you and I could live the rest of our lives, by faith. You and I can live by faith, and we really don't have to. Although there is a time to make our request known unto God, always make your request known unto God first. I really believe that when we make our request known unto God and we employ our faith in prayer and ask him for certain things, that he will ultimately provide. I do believe that. I do believe there is a time also in scripture, biblically, that you do make certain requests and needs known to communities around you. The Apostle Paul did it all the time. He was asking people to do this and that, partner with his ministry, etc. There are things that you need to communicate with the body around you, but it's always first ask God, right? Because at least when you're praying, you could sanctify that prayer and know if this desire is right. Let's move on, because this is the thing that gets me. This is why I do what I do. And this is what answers my question. Why do I preach the end times? Why do I preach the last days? Why am I absolutely lovingly fascinated with the end times? I love them. They're not a burden to me. I love the word of God. I love prophecy. I love the prophetic voice of God. I love the razor's edge prophetic voice. I love the spirit of God that pierces and breaks and delivers and heals and restores and brings enlightenment and truth. I love that. I love it's the last days. I love that we're an end time army. I love the fact that we need to endure and go through and go low. I love that. I love the word of God that convicts me. I love the word of God that provokes me, that steps all over my toes and breaks me. I love that word of God. Okay, and so do you. So here it is. Why? Verse 25. This is everything. And when you stand praying, remember he just said, pray for your desires. When you stand praying, forgive. Wow. Forgive. If you have aught against any that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, I want to stop there for just a moment. You're standing, you're praying, you're employing your faith, you're desiring, you're seeking, you're asking, and then Jesus compliments this, and I love this about his word. He doesn't just leave it to Mark 11, 22, 3, and 4. He brings the most important aspect, because there's nothing we would ask for, desire in this world that's worthy for losing our soul in the next. And what happens in verse 25, he's coming with something very strong here. When you stand praying, forgive. And I just want to give, I know most of you already know, the absolute definition is aphiemi. Aphiemi. All right. That's the word forgive. Aphiemi. And what that word actually means, and I'm going to give you just the upfront, and it's aphiemi, and it means to send forth. What does that mean? It means to let go. It means to leave it alone, right? To send it away. So what happens? Somebody does something against us, to us, whether they know it or not. They hurt us. A woman finds out her husband's committing adultery. She's heartbroken. She has a right to divorce her husband. She's broken. There's kids involved. She's a mother. She thought everything was great. Her world is working. And yet she finds out the deepest betrayal. A woman is raped by another man. She's raped and she's invaded and she's broken. She grows up, a boy or a girl, and they are physically abused by a parent. They are beaten. They are viewed as an object of disdain by the parent. The parent, for one reason or another, has no love, and they exhaust their hurt against that child. These things happen. Boys and girls in school ridicule, mock, make fun of, hurt. Words are spoken. Actions and conduct are coming against the individual. All kinds of terrible things come. Betrayal at any level. Somebody gossips about you. Somebody lies about you. All of these things and 100 more get into us. Something happens. They stay inside of us. They get in there. And so what Jesus is saying to do, which is more important than asking, even a mountain being removed, he's saying it's really important that you let it go. In fact, he says that you release it, that you send it away. But it goes a little bit deeper. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught. And the word aught is really kind of strange. It's A-T's. And you know simply what it means? It just means if any. From any, whether any, whosoever. In other words, what Jesus is saying, you talk about the little leaven that spoils the whole loaf or the little foxes that spoil the vine. What Jesus is actually saying, whatever ought you have, if any ought that you have, if there's any grudge, if there's anything inside of there towards anybody, anything towards anybody, get rid of it. Why? Because if we don't, it'll be territory for this. Watch this. Verse 25 again. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Then 26 says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, to me, I don't know what the scholars say, but when I read that, it kind of tells me what it says, that if I don't forgive and release and let go of anything from anybody, whatever, whosoever, whether, whatever, if I don't let it go, I will not be let go. I will not be forgiven. I will not be able. And is this the reason why so many people are going to show up in the last days and say, Lord, Lord, we did all this Christian work in your name. And he says, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Well, I cannot think of a more iniquitous work than not forgiving somebody. Because the whole gospel is built upon God's forgiveness towards us by subjecting his son to the slaughter of the cross, right? And so to deny that, to reject that, to not follow the course of that is the most blasphemous iniquity there is in my understanding. Now, I could be wrong, but I cannot imagine not forgiving. It is the highest pride. It is the highest elevation. Now, some people want to forgive. They want to let it go, but it keeps coming up over and over and over and over again in their psyche, in their mind, in their heart, in their emotions. And they just can't either forgive themselves, or they can't forgive their father or their mother or their friend or their brother or their girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. It just keeps coming up over and over and over. That is a spirit, a demonic spirit that is wanting you to keep that thing in your heart. And that demonic spirit will train your mind to be justified in your holding it. It'll teach you how you're right for holding it. You shouldn't be stupid and let people walk over you. It's a whole argument from a demonic spirit why you should not let it go. And I'm telling you, like the serpent in the Garden of Eden that was speaking to the woman, that crafty, smooth tongue of the devil talked her right out of the glory of God. Right out of the glory of God. Your mind is being spoken to by spirit. Maybe not a person standing right in front of you. You know and I know. You could be driving alone in your car and your mind's having thoughts. Where are they coming from? Someone's speaking to your mind. And you could drive down the road and put on that sad song, that worldly sad song, and it could bring you back into memories, and you could cry because you were hurt and your emotions are not yet delivered and healed. Now, why am I talking about this? Why did Jesus mention this? Well, number one, I have a genuine passion that is only a compliment to my wife Patricia's great passion to see the body of Christ set free. And we take our position very seriously. We don't want anybody that's listening to this broadcast or comes to our church to lose. We don't want anybody to fail. We want everybody to be in heaven by the time this is done. That is what matters to us. And so we believe it's important for people to know that the devil is coming with satanic energy to do something against you with a design. But we want to build them up before he comes so that you could stand and that we could stand. We are doubly accountable for what we teach, but we also get a double blessing for what we teach because we're not only teaching others, but we're teaching ourselves. This is our passion. If we didn't care, it's not that we need a job. We do not need a job. There are jobs out there that we have enough qualifications. If we needed to go out and make money and build a house and live a simple life, we could do it. We don't need to be on YouTube. We don't need to be on radio. We don't need a pulpit. It's a calling. But the calling is designed to as many as will to wake up to the reality of what time it is because eternity is looming ahead of us. And so what is the cry? What is Jesus saying? Your Father of love, listen to me, the Father of all mercy and grace and kindness and goodness will not forgive those who don't forgive. And my take on that, if I show up before God and God doesn't forgive me because I chose not to forgive, I'm going straight to hell. I would rather go into a secret corner somewhere for the rest of my life to make sure my heart was clean than to continue doing everything and ignoring the issues that are undermining God's purpose in my life. It's time for the curse of unforgiveness to be broken off of the body of Christ. Because I believe that the curse of unforgiveness is the reason why so many are not being released in the fullness of destiny. You may want to be free. You may want to let go. You may want to send away, but there's something there holding it. That is the bondage. That is the spiritual snare that you stepped into when you received the offense. And you or I may have received the offense before we ever knew these scriptures. And we've just been living with an offense from way before we were Christians. You don't have to be a Christian to have an offense. There's a lot of offended people out there today that are not born again Christians. And that offense is a snare to their soul that they're so bitter and angry, they won't even accept God's love and mercy through Christ Jesus. I mean, these snares are deep. But when you come to Christ, one of the things he does is he offers us forgiveness, but then he tells us to go and let go. And that's the part of working out our salvation with fear and trembling. So why are we here? Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we doing what we're doing? Well, I've got my dearest friend in the whole world going to talk with us right now. Her name is Patricia Joy Xavier. She is a woman that has written a book called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. She is going to begin her own 30-minute broadcast starting Thursday, this Thursday, from 10 a.m. to 10:30. Right when I'm done with my one-hour broadcast, Patricia is going to follow from 10 a.m. to 10:30 on Omega Radio, Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, and she's going to bring the wisdom and the knowledge out of the book that God called her to write alongside the ultimate Word of God. And I want to welcome her to the broadcast today. Good morning, Patricia Joy. God bless you, and how are you?
I am wonderful. It is one more day to get it right. Aren't you happy? Aren't we happy that we have this day to make it the most wonderful time of our lives if we want to make that decision to do so? And what you've been speaking of is so true. I believe it's the Lord. The Lord is saying that his church is now entering into a time of purification of the soul. We are entering into the time of preparation for the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's why our soul is going through the most wonderful time that we have ever known, and that is being purified. And we are being told, get into your chamber as his indignation passes. And his indignation is passing through, and it's getting more intense every day. But every day we have this opportunity to get it right. And we are hearing many prophecies, and God didn't give us prophecies to scare us, but to prepare us, because in preparation, we have learned to make choices to follow him in a right and proper manner. And I believe that's what this radio program is all about, to follow him in a right and proper way and learn how to. And it is a wonderful experience. There is nothing frightening about it if you really know the love of Christ. There's nothing frightening about it if you really understand the call to be prepared to be his bride. And it's not just a metaphor. It is, but it is to show Christ in his church as his bride. The intimacy is beyond anything that natural worldly marriage could be. It is an intimacy of spirit and soul, and it is glorious, and it is peaceful, and it is the most wonderful experience. And this is what we are being prepared for.
Well, amen to that, Patricia Joy. And I want to go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. Patricia, and I want you to speak into this, okay? Because you and I stand in utter agreement on this word as we do most of the Word of God. I mean, we are in agreement about the ultimate calling here. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So do not forsake the assembling of the body of Christ, as the manner of some is. So some people were actually doing that. They, you know, forsook the gathering, but exhorting one another, And so much the more we're called to exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, Patricia, the day that is approaching is the day that we've been talking about for such a very long time. And the word, by the way, to exhort means to call near, to invite, to invoke, to beseech, to comfort, to entreat, to pray for. And so the day that is approaching is the day that the enemy is coming with all satanic energy to do his worst to everyone that claims to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you speak into that?
Yes, I want to do that because it is absolutely the work of the evil one to bring destruction to the bride of Christ and to the church at large. And the desire for church communication and the coming together and the assembling together is to learn intimacy without offense and to also be accountable to one another in love. And that is the very heart of the matter. God is intending to marry a people without spot and wrinkle, a church without spot and wrinkle. And our union with him, even though we can experience incredible intimacy and love through friendship and marriage, it allows us to fuse ourselves spiritually to each other and be that wonderful light and hopefulness to one another. And so we become the bride of Christ in that mirror. And it is the reflection of Christ in his church. And it's beautiful to behold. It has never happened in the foundations of this earth. But the happening is granted to be as now. So we need to take advantage of this in every way and understand the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to do so.
Well, amen to that. I want to ask you a question, Patricia, about this idea of forgiving. I happen to know that there are some pretty tough people that are in the body of Christ. And what I mean is they're strong. They're strong women as women, and they're strong men as men. Why do so many people think that if they forgive or let go, that it's a weakness in their lives? That's not true, is it? You don't have to give up your valor or your virtue or your manhood or your toughness or your strength, or as a woman, give up your womanhood when you forgive. You're not the lesser person for forgiving and letting go, are you?
No. In fact, you are the stronger. And the idea of having that blessing in your life to be able to forgive is to prepare to become that glorious church of God that he is choosing right now, and that marriage feast that's ready to come about. Because becoming the bride, the glorious church, is where we are right now. And when corruption puts on incorruption, and when we see him, we will be like him. And when the glory comes down, there will be those that have leaven in them that they must release and receive that glorious part of his Holy Spirit. That is the true marriage. And there is no manner of marriage that is rightful with unforgiveness in one soul, whether it's here in a physical relationship or in a spiritual relationship with God Almighty. The difference is, on this earth, we are married in the flesh, and we don't understand the spiritual work of Christ in his church to make us holy, to make us pure, to prepare us for his entering. And this is so important right now. And what you are speaking of, that we must forgive those that are not a blessing at times, or those who offend us, It is time to understand that that matters not. It should be like water off a duck's back, to be honest with you. Anything else is pride.
I was going to ask you that just at that very moment. The idea of forgiving someone is a very humbling idea. I mean, pride is what makes us not. So humility, there's a humility in letting go, isn't there? And in that humility, the Word of God tells us that's when God exalts us. When we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He exalts us. Speak into that.
Yes, and you know, that is so beautiful when you really consider what is being said. That is a calling from God's heart for us. He does want us to walk in humility, because in humility there's no greater strength. And in that strength, He desires to raise us up into a position of power and victory, to become an overcomer. And the church has been so raped in this area. They don't understand the true work of God by His Holy Spirit as a whole. Some do. There's a remnant people who do. But the remnant must get larger. It must become more incredibly beautiful, powerful in the times we're in. And the only way that can happen is to receive forgiveness for ourselves by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and then relate that to others by forgiving them. And as we said so often, if we don't forgive others their trespasses against us, we will not be forgiven by our Lord. And this is the truth of the matter, and there will be no realm of ruling and reigning with Him in a millennium, or a heavenly experience, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It will not happen to you. But the opportunity is now granted to us to rise up and to understand what we have been granted. It is the greatest, most magnificent thing that this world has ever known.
All right. So, Patricia, would it be safe to say then that when somebody forgives from their heart everything and anything, that is not only humility, but it is the greatest act of love that is being demonstrated by an individual? So could we say that our love is proven by our willingness to let go, to send away every offense, and to forgive every single person? Isn't that the greatest demonstration of agape, genuine love?
Yes, it is. And it's the pinnacle of love. However, it cannot be done by a natural man. It can only be done by a supernatural man. And what do I mean by supernatural? I mean that the work of God, the Holy Spirit that has been sent to mankind to receive, if He is willing, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, opening that door for the work of the Holy Spirit to come in and bring that ability to forgive no matter what has happened to you, as Christ did on the cross when He was nailed in the excruciating pain and took all sin upon Himself. He forgave all who came against Him. Forgive them, Lord, He said, for they know not what they do. And we can make the same exclamation: who offends us? Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. And when you understand that, it doesn't bring you to a higher level. It brings you to a deeper humility to understand the workings of mankind in their sinful nature, and to forgive them, because who we forgive is forgiven, but who offends us and whose sins we retain, they're retained. And that's not an act of love to retain their offenses and unforgiveness, because that causes them to be in bondage to you, which is a sinful situation.
Yeah, I can't imagine anything more slaverish or iniquitous. In Mark chapter 13, Patricia, where it says in verse 12, "Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved." So the true love of God, the love of many waxing cold in Matthew 24, the true love of many waxing cold is their inability to forgive those who have offended them. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct. It is the crux of the matter.
The crux
all
of the matter.
Situations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when corruption puts on incorruption, that's what we're doing when we forgive. And when we see Christ, we will be like him because we take on his personage, his truth, his faith, his glory. When the glory comes down, there will be those that have leaven in them, but we will not. We will stand pure and holy. We have to loose ourselves from the bands and bonds of captivity. And that's what this is all about, getting set free, as you mentioned earlier, getting set free from the imprisonment of unforgiveness. It imprisons you, it keeps you in bondage, and you are lost. There's no gaining of eternal life.
All right, Patricia, here's the deal. We've got about 5 minutes left in the broadcast. The lines are open. If anybody wants to call in and share any comments or thoughts, this is the time to do it. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. Patricia, you know, to talk about this is one thing, but I just happened to, I sense in my spirit, I could be wrong again, that there are people listening right now or will be listening to a message that's been preached for 2,000 years. It's not new, but really, really struggle to let things go, even when they want to let them go, because they're not letting it go is destroying them. It's like a beaver eating the heart of an eagle in its grasp. I've told that story before, and maybe I'll explain it in a little bit, but I mean, when you don't let this go, it eats at you like a cancer, and yet people struggle. They struggle so big to let it go. And before you answer that, let's take a call coming in from area code 605. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Your thoughts?
Good morning. I can't believe that you preached the whole sermon about my past. It turns out that I was raised in a family where there was, two brothers, two sisters, and my stepmother, it took us a long, long time to show forgiveness in this. And my wife ended up, she was in her 70s before she was able to forgive. And you should have seen the change in her spirit when she did so.
Hallelujah. I have nothing more to say but hallelujah. It works, doesn't it, Ken?
It does work. And today you have been preaching to not only the sheep of God, but to the lambs that either have come in or will come in. It's been just great. I enjoyed it thoroughly, and I agree with everything that came out.
Thank you, Brother Ken. God bless your heart. That's precious. We appreciate that. And so we're going to take another call coming in right now from area code 479903. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. When you started out saying what we go about if we didn't have God and the Lord and the Holy Spirit as part of our being, what it would be like. Man, it would be so lonely. They have filled me, supported me, built me up, taken me through all, and I can't vision not having that as part of my life. And he's been so good to me. And that ammunition that you went preaching, preparing the people, keep on doing it. And I just praise the Lord.
Well, God bless you, George, and thank you. George is a dear elder and dear friend. And Patricia, you and I could not imagine Ken, who just called in, Pastor Ken, George, or anybody else. We could not imagine them falling short at the end of their life because of a grudge or unforgiveness of any kind. And these people are working out their salvation with fear and trembling. Our job, Patricia, is to continue to share this word with as many as we can. It's connected to what we believe. I want to give you the final thoughts before we go today.
Yes, and George is reflecting within his life what he has given. And he is being blessed. And that is the way our Heavenly Father operates. He blesses the givers. If they give out of their love, if they give out of their effort, if they give out of their finances, he blesses the givers, no matter which way they choose to give. And in like manner, it'll return unto them. True love heals and affects spiritual growth. And true love forgives. And that's why we're seeing spiritual growth in George. He has learned to walk the walk. Now, the false love can never be satisfied and is forever regulating itself to the prison of some kind of addiction. It could be fear. It could be hatred. It could be anger. It could be stress. It could be a multitude of things. But when you come to the knowledge of the truth, that love covers a multitude of sins in yourself and in others, you begin to grow and receive the depths of the Holy Spirit in your life to bring you full deliverance. And we are talking about full deliverance. And true love doesn't parade itself because it's not searching for anything because it already knows it is love. No, it's humble and it cares and it loves beyond the ability of human nature. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives. I can't tell you how important.
Yeah, let me ask you this question. I'm going to take this a little bit further. We're going to keep everything broadcasting right now. I just really sense there's something important that we need to get out today for someone. All people, every person, every little baby that comes to the matrix of their mother's womb is born in sin. They actually have a sin nature. And that thing grows up and it manifests down the road when we grow up. Everybody has this. So when Jesus Christ went to the cross, Buddha didn't, Muhammad didn't, Confucius didn't, none of these folks did. When Jesus Christ went to the cross and died on the cross and shed his blood for our forgiveness, before we ever even accepted him, before we ever knew him, he did this. This is a done deal to whosoever will believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So, for the person that's listening today that's not a Christian, maybe you're involved in who knows what. Only you know, God knows, and the devil knows, right? Do you realize that you've probably grown up 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years? Do you know that you probably have been offended at some point in your life? You probably have some deep resentment or unforgiveness towards somebody for something. It's there, accumulates It's virtually impossible. Jesus said it's impossible that offenses will come. So to the Christian, we understand that we're not supposed to receive an offense, and the offenses that we did receive, the offenses, that the things that did happen to us before we even knew Jesus, right? And afterwards, the things that happened to us, God requires us to forgive the way that he forgave us. Now, in Christianity, we all want to be forgiven totally. We don't want anything not to be forgiven. We do not want to stand before the judge on judgment day and have anything in the book against us. We want it all forgiven. And that is exactly how God wants us to forgive, totally. Now, to the unbelieving individual, okay, the person on the fence, you have unforgiveness in you towards someone, towards something, whether it's yourself or someone else. And the thing is, that unforgiveness is destroying your life. That sin in you that you've committed and the offense that you hold is killing you. And it will kill you at the very end, destroy you eternally. What God is saying is, whether you believe in him or not, you have an issue. But the answer to the issue is Jesus Christ, because he demonstrated what it means to let go, forgive, and to release. Okay? Not that we deserved it, and the person that you probably hate or don't even want to talk about, or every time you mention their name, something bitter comes out of you. Okay? They don't deserve your forgiveness either. But we're called and required to, the way that we were forgiven, to forgive them. So maybe you're in the world. Maybe you've been carrying this hostility in your heart towards people, individuals, whatever. For your own well-being, you need to receive the forgiveness of God. And then in order to establish it and keep it, you need to release and forgive the people that hurt you. If you don't, and Patricia, I want you to speak into this. If people don't forgive, the psychosis, the psychological impact of shaping a personality is very real. But before, Patricia, you answer that question, let me take one more call that's coming in here from area code 479-586. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
What is the difference? What is the difference in forgiving and forgetting? In other words, can you forgive, but it takes time to forget, or is there a difference?
Well, in my opinion, and Patricia, I want you to answer this, but my opinion, if God is calling us to forgive the way that we want to be forgiven, I want God to forget. I want him to forget. And he says, I remember no more your sins. So if we're going to act like God in this and do it the way that God did it, I believe that we do need to cleanse our soul and conscience by forgetting. The word talks many times about God forgetting our sins. Patricia, your thoughts.
In a situation where there has been an incredible act of betrayal toward another, you will recall that. I mean, it did happen, and it will be recalled. But when you think about it, it will not affect you in any negative way any longer. In fact, you will feel very sorry for that individual. You're forgiving that individual will not hold them in bondage anymore and give them opportunity to be set free, to be blessed in their life. That's love. But what will happen is your love will want to see that happen. Your love will want to see that person that was so treated you so badly, you will want to see them free and forgiven and serving God. There is no pain or hurt in your heart anymore. It bothers you not. That's when you know you truly have forgiven.
Amen. Very good. Very good. Let's take another call coming in from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes. Just a comment here. in the Bible, in Psalms, David, he said, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. And when we're talking about forgiveness, it reminded me, we just have been dealing with a family, and the young boy, who's 21, was beat up, and he almost lost his eyesight by a friend. And the other people, of course, I don't know their status of what their relationship with God is, but the young man has just been released from the hospital now, and that he's had a lot of pain. They thought they were going to have to go in and he'd lose his eyesight, but he didn't, because everybody started praying of the godly people that were know him. And the young man said, he told his mother, mother, you tell that mother of that other boy that I forgive him for what he's done. And then the mother said, also, we forgive you. And this is going to cost thousands of dollars to get this young man with his surgeries and whatever he has to go through. And I thought, my God, they're standing there. And the other young man is in jail right now, because he even beat his own brother up. I mean, this stuff that's going on is so evil in people's hearts and minds, but you never know why God has to put you in a situation. And now we're believing that that whole family will come to Jesus Christ, and his mother is a medical doctor herself. And I am telling you, we're in some situations sometimes that God gets the glory in the end, but we never know what we're going to have to go through.
Well, amen to that. And another thought that I had, and Patricia, I'd like you to speak into this if you would. Another thought is when we forgive, okay, when we finally deal with it, when we finally have found the ability to let it go, to snap the cords, break the chains, undo the curses, and let it go mentally, emotionally, spiritually, the ghosts are gone, all of it, the emotions are healed and cleaned up. That does not necessitate that you live as a wimp. And what I mean by that, I'm not trying to take anything away from what we're talking about, but when you let go of things and you're going to go now into the future and you're going to face the storm, you're not facing it as a weakling or as a wimp or as an emotional mess or, you know, sloppy agape or anything. I mean, you could be a very strong, powerful person, but everything that you're doing in your warfare is no longer motivated by unforgiveness or resentment or bitterness. You're now operating out of a new strength to stand for what is right and to advance the kingdom of God in the power and anointing. Is that correct, Patricia?
Absolutely correct, and the most beautiful part of being a Christian if you move in that direction. Now, this young man, was that your grandson?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Yes, it was your grandson. Well, you need to praise God that your grandson is acting in that manner. Because what most people don't realize is that there is a devil, Satan. They don't even believe it. Christians I'm speaking of, but most people. There is a devil, Satan, that has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And when he came to your grandson in that manner, in that way, by using an individual that was a friend, your grandson was tested for his love. And he passed the test. And so what Satan meant for harm is now used for his glory. And many people are going to be affected by this. They're going to see and note the glory of God in this operation, what had happened. This is the way God shows himself. And Satan meant it for harm, but you notice the eye was saved. The Lord was going to use the situation for magnificence, and he did. You need to praise the Lord for having such a grandson. But I know your prayers have made it help to be.
Amen.
Well, we feel also this was a wake-up call to our grandson. It was a wake-up call from God. Get back on the narrow road, not on the broad one that leads to destruction.
Oh, amen to that.
Amen.
What a great lesson. Patricia.
Yes, I wanted to just bring up along with that, Satan meant it for harm, but God used it for his glory.
Amen. Amen. He did, and he is. Praise God. I guess one of the final thoughts that I want to bring up, Kathy, did you hear everything you wanted to at this point?
Well, basically, I know that there are no accidents. I mean, the tests sometimes are not what we like in life. But I'm telling you, we got to go through the fire without burning. And you know what comes to me? You know, when Abraham took Isaac up there and God told him, you know, he was supposed to be the sacrificial lamb, you might say, his own son. And he did this. And you know what? Is God trying to dethrone things from our heart that are so dear, whether it be a person, a home, a car, call it what you want, a job or whatever? I think God's got to find out what is really on the throne of our hearts.
Well, amen to that. Absolutely, 100%. Let me just throw this in the mix, Patricia, and then I want to turn this back over to you. And Kathy's absolutely right, getting into the heart. Do you know this present storm called Caleb has already killed some people that were not ready for the cold and frigid temperatures? Do you know that there are many dangerous things in the world in which we live? Whether it's going to church, it's dangerous today. People have been shot and killed. Going to a concert, it's dangerous. People were shot and killed. Nightclubs, movie theaters, schools, hospitals, shipyards, training camps. I mean, you name, there is danger everywhere. But I want to tell you what's more dangerous than ISIS, more dangerous than Al-Qaeda, more dangerous than a fire, a storm, a hurricane, a blizzard. What is most dangerous? And Patricia, you correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not trying to be dramatic here. I really believe this. The most dangerous thing for every human being is unforgiveness. Is that true, Patricia, or not?
The most dangerous. And an open door for Satan to come in and buffet that individual. You see, the reason why it's so dangerous is because it is pride. Pride is the stronghold of unforgiveness. There is no doubt about it. And to overcome the work of Satan, it takes the knowledge of who Satan is and understanding his evil work. And again, people don't realize that there is a devil. They don't even believe in a devil as a Christian. Many don't, but there is. And he comes to steal our energies, to steal our health, to kill, to bring us to absolute destruction, and to destroy us to ever understanding and entering into eternal life. So what does he use? Unforgiveness. And what is unforgiveness? Pride. And what is pride? The reason for the fall of Satan himself out of the heavens and the heavenly realm.
Well, amen to that. Patricia, with that being said, we have another call coming in from Area Code
8.
And they're going to have to lower their radio.
They're going to have to open their radio.
Hello,
can
you hear me?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
But hi, Peggy, but you have to lower your radio
background.
Sorry, let me see what I can do here. Is that better?
Yes. How are you?
Can you hear me? Oh my.
Yes, I hear you.
I can't hear myself.
You don't need to hear. We hear you. We hear you. Peggy, we hear you.
Hello, Peggy.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Oh, okay. I couldn't hear. It went out. Oh, I just wanted to maybe just put a couple of add to everything that was said. As far as unforgiveness, I think there was a question there was if you have forgiven and yet you it still bothers you, it hurts you, maybe you're still working through it. My input to that in my own experience is perhaps at that point there is still a demonic stronghold that has to be set free if you can't release. I know in my own life the release of something from long ago. I knew how to forgive as a Christian, but from long ago there was a spirit of offense. And when that was relieved, the same type things could have has come towards me, but it doesn't affect you. It's the freedom. I mean, I can imagine kind of like if you have a cut and if it's not healed, just a little bit of salt irritates it. But if it's healed, you can hit it. It just doesn't bother you. So I'm just saying the combination of forgiveness and if even going further from that, if you're still struggling, you can't let it things go. If it's something's driving you, there's very possibly a demonic stronghold that can be set free, and then you will have really true freedom.
Excellent and well said, Peggy. And Patricia, that's really the crux of your entire book. On the very back of it, you talk about people that go before the Lord, they pray, they fast, they seek counsel, but to no avail. They still have this internal struggle going on, and that's where you bring up the concept and the reality of a demonic presence that entered into the soul realm, not the born-again spirit, but the soul realm, and established a position to make war and to take that territory. Go ahead and speak into that.
Yes, as I mentioned before, that stronghold is a spirit of pride. That pride has come in through the fall of Adam. Adam had fallen from heaven because of pride. Satan has fallen because of pride from heaven. He was tossed out of heaven because of the spirit of pride. When he was able to grab the heart of Eve, pride came in to all of her generational seed. Each child from that point on, after the fall, became innervated and afflicted by the spirit of pride in birth. This is the sin nature that each one of us are born with, the spirit, the sin of pride. And that is the one thing that we must overcome through deliverance. And it is our right as Christians to receive that deliverance. That's why I called the book that I wrote, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Even though we won't receive our rights today, the Bill of Rights, they're still there and they're still preeminent. We have the right to destroy the sin nature. And this is why Jesus Christ came to earth.
Well, amen to that. Praise God for the victory in the cross. Listen, we are really winding down right now. We just stayed over. I felt that it was important. And let me just confirm here that Peggy has
shared everything. Peggy,
is there anything else you wanted to share?
The marvelous freedom, and Patricia has said that, if when you have a demonic stronghold, it's not just the enemy whispering in your ear or the world luring you. It's internal. It's a constant struggle, constant. And when you are set free from that, there is nothing. I can hardly put it into words. I've walked through many years, God's done incredible things, but this particular deliverance has absolutely I feel like a new person. And it's because I wasn't in a constant, you know, hearing a thought and then have to battle it because you knew it wasn't a right thought. And I think there's people out there that if they're still dealing with that, knowing they can get prayer and totally get set free from that.
Well, praise God. And that is the key, freedom and deliverance and healing and salvation. And that's what it is all about. And the liberty is sweeter than anything. And you know what it strikes me, Patricia? There's an old, remember the Honeymooners when Ralph Cramden always said, oh, it's my silly pride. You know, pride is such an issue, isn't it? I mean, oh, my silly pride.
Yeah.
And if we could just be free of that and realize that strength is not found in pride, but the devil gets an advantage over us through pride, and to recognize when we're in pride. And to have somebody come up to you sometimes and, you know, say, you know, you're in gross pride is like a punch in the belly, but that's only a punch in the belly to the devil. And so we need to, you know, we need to be in a position to accept from our Father in heaven a massive blow to the spirit of pride that may have taken root in our lives. And as was said, well, we were born with it. And so that we can walk in the humility, which will give us greater strength and power. Patricia, go ahead and fill that in.
Well, what you said is so absolutely true for strength and power of the Holy Spirit. There's no ability to forgive, truly forgive, to the depths of the soul in a natural man or woman that has not yet received the power of forgiveness in their own life through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit. The foundation of all sin is pride. Any sin you can think of, named, is based on the foundation of pride from generation to generation to generation. It is the generational bloodline curse. Satan was cursed with a curse because he was thrown out of the heavenly realm because of his pride. And we see that pride in operation everywhere today. We see it in the far left. We see it in the deep state. We see the spirit of pride in the occultic work. It is all pride, thinking they are God. And that is what Satan believed, that he was God.
And all too often we see it in ourselves. We've got one more call coming in. Let's take this call once again to 479-586. You're on the air. God bless you.
So is what I'm hearing then, I want to make sure I'm hearing this right, that if you have true forgiveness, then you have total forgetfulness on the situation. Because I'm curious as to...
No.
Okay, so you can forgive. You can say somebody's wronged you, and you have forgiven them, and you hope and wish and pray nothing but the best for them, and hope that they can and find, you know, the peace that you have in your heart. But yet, sometimes circumstances arise where a situation happens where you remember, and you don't. And you speak about it, but you don't do it with malicious nature in your heart. But yet you've not it's still there as far as you remember what happened, but you're not remembering with bitterness. Does that make sense?
Right, absolutely right. In essence, if you shorten it in detail, you no longer hold a grudge. It's gone. And everything else is free within you about the situations that you remember. It is a great freedom. It's a beautiful freedom. And it is the one thing that God gave his son for.
Amen. All right. Very good conversation. We're going to have to leave it right there for now. Patricia, thank you for joining me on the air. We have extended this to a half hour. We'll see you tomorrow. Daniel Second will be joining me on the air tomorrow. I hope and pray that you and I, who have taken the time to listen to this message today, will take it to heart. Let's get free. Let's get delivered. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us to let go so that we can move forward, okay? Because this unforgiveness thing is a chain around the neck, and it's eternal in its dangerous aspects. And so praise God. We're going to keep on keeping on. We love you. God bless you. We'll talk to you real soon. Remember, right now on OmegaRadio.org, OmegaRadio.org, there is a roundtable discussion, and you're going to learn a lot from it. So continue listening on Omega Radio 24/7. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing, right here on Pastor Vince. Goodbye on YouTube Land. God bless you. And goodbye on Blog Talk Radio Land. God bless you.